Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Should some things in life be difficult? Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, June 20th, 2026, for day two of our communications article for the month of June. It is called Misunderstood Can Be Good: What Travelers Lose When Translation Is Done by Tech. And so we've already discussed day one of our article yesterday. Me and Rhonda, who is here in the studio, back for day two. Welcome back, Rhonda.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be here. I've been chuckling at some of the entertaining things we talked about yesterday, and
yes,
I'm glad to be back.
There is much entertainment, I think, in this piece, as well as much food for more serious thought. So we're glad to have you listeners with us here to read through it and to discuss the English with it and give you a chance to grow confident in your ability to hear and read English. Yesterday, we met the author of our article. The article is written in the first person. She graduated years ago from culinary school or culinary school. You'll hear both. And it just means cooking school, where you go to learn how to be a chef. And then she tells us about a time when she was staying with relatives in Switzerland, cooking them dinner. And it sounded like her relatives didn't really think much of her cooking. In fact, sometimes they seemed to say that it was actually bad, even if not to her face or in a mean way. And so, not long after that, she tells us she became a journalist instead of a cook, despite having graduated from culinary school. Now, Rhonda, why does our author mention this, or why did our author mention this back in Taiwan? Why does she begin with that?
Well, she recently read an article about a new invention, the Apple AirPods, which can translate foreign languages in real time, and she thought back to that personal experience of misunderstanding Swiss German, mistranslating the words, had an effect on her life, and so she's thinking, if I had had those AirPods, maybe I would have made some different decisions. If I hadn't misunderstood some vocab words, maybe life would be different. And this article is a sometimes humorous but actually profound discussion of, is it always best to be perfectly understood, to have vocabulary perfectly used, or do we sometimes actually benefit from being misunderstood, from not having the right word to say in the right time? Isn't this a great topic for advanced, for us with our advanced listeners? Because this is what we're all struggling with as we try to learn and grow in our knowledge of a second language, is our desire is to be perfectly understood and to perfectly understand everybody. But life is more interesting when you have to go through the struggle and sometimes the comedy of trying to get the language correct.
Yes. In fact, you could almost say that we here in Advanced have a conflict of interest here in presenting this article to you, because it is about a technology that could make us obsolete.
Well, there you go. That's right. That's another profound aspect. Are people going to need us?
These AirPods.
Us native English. I just called us English. Native English speakers.
Right.
Will people still need us?
These AirPods, so-called, provide instant translation, close to, you know, what we've maybe seen in Star Trek, if you're a fan of the Star Trek TV shows, where they have something called the Universal Translator that all the characters have, not just because they're meeting other humans from other countries, but because they're meeting aliens almost every week. And so all aliens, apparently, in the galaxy that they live in have this thing called the Universal Translator, which enables them all to understand each other in the same language, which in this case is English. But if this is a real possibility for us living here on Earth in 2026, then this could change a lot of the way we learn languages. And the question is that entirely a good thing? Because it sure sounds good when you first hear about it. Something that immediately translates a foreign language, sign me up. But our author is saying, hang on a minute, let's just give this a second look. So we are going to give the second day of our article a look right now. We're going to read through it and again talk about the English with you. If you have your magazines open, this is June 20th, day two of the communications article. Let's go into our first reading now.
Losing motivation to learn. I worry that we will lose what remains of our motivation to learn languages when urgency to understand is suddenly stripped away. Americans and Brits are already broadly derided for their overconfidence when traveling abroad, our willingness to traipse around the world with the assumption that we will be able to speak English and be understood. It's not instinctive for English-speaking tourists to learn basic pleasantries before going on a trip to Italy or Spain, the way it might be for speakers of other languages. The new AirPods, which can also translate speech into writing, only exacerbate this complacency. Sure, you might get what you want faster by holding up your phone, but isn't there more to gain from the embarrassment of slightly mispronouncing your request for a table for two?
Okay, so the author, again in day one, pretty much establishes the technology and the basic point she's trying to make. And so here in day two, she's elaborating on it. She's unpacking that idea a little more. And she begins by saying that she worries, right at the top there. She worries what, Rhonda?
That we will lose what remains, our little bit of motivation that is left, to learn languages when urgency to understand is suddenly stripped away. So she worries that we will lose motivation when there's no longer an urgent need to understand.
Right. Urgency meaning something that you feel the need to do. If something is a matter of urgency, it's not only important, but it feels important to you as well. And clearly here, if you're in a foreign language, in a foreign country, and you don't speak the language, you have a great motivation. It is urgent for you to learn the language or to learn as much of it as you can in order to find your way through the society and get your basic needs taken care of. However, as she says in the next paragraph, Americans and Brits, people from Britain, Americans and Brits are already broadly derided for their overconfidence when traveling abroad. Deride means to make fun of or to make jokes about someone you think is silly. And Rhonda, why are we Americans and Brits broadly derided?
Well, we speak the world's most universal language. We are native English speakers, so we have a lot of confidence, overconfidence. We're kind of proud about it.
Too much confidence.
Yes,
yeah.
When we travel abroad, and we can be overconfident. In other words, we assume everyone will understand us. And so people know that about us. We're already, in a lot of places, broadly made fun of or looked down upon because we are so proud when traveling abroad. And the sentence goes on after the dash. We're derided for our willingness to just travel around, traipse around the world. Traipse is a fun word that means to walk somewhere in a slow way because you're kind of tired, you're kind of bored. I'm just traipsing around the world.
Right. It gets to that idea of overconfidence.
Yes.
That, you know, we don't have to really get anywhere in a fast
right.
and efficient manner because we know that everyone will already understand us.
Yeah,
so we can take
hurry.
Our time. We don't have to really care that much about things. And sadly, there's a lot of truth to that caricature of American and British tourists that comes when you sort of are born on first base, as we say. baseball analogy there, first base. Eventually, you want to get to second base, third base, and then back to home plate in order to score a run, to score a point for your team. So to be born, we'll sometimes say he's born on first base or born on third base even, so that it means someone who is born into a gifted situation, born into a wealthy family, born into a certain country, a powerful country, so that they have benefits that they did not earn. And so in this case, we Americans are born into a world in which the native language that we learn from infancy is just happens to be the lingua franca of the world that we live in, and not a language that people only speak in our country or in our nation, and you know, such that we are required to have to learn a second language to speak to other people.
Sure, and it says that the rest of that sentence, we can have the assumption, we assume that we'll be understood, that we will be able to speak English and be understood. And it goes on to say it's not instinctive. It's not natural for English-speaking tourists to even learn basic pleasantries. We don't assume we have to learn basic language phrases before going on a trip.
Right. A nice word there, pleasantries.
Pleasantries, yes.
It sounds like it would simply mean anything that is pleasant. You know, it's a pleasant day. That means it's a pleasant treat. No, no, no. Again, you would think that. But what it means is basically small talk. Pleasantries. Hi, how you doing? Yes, nice day. Oh, have you just had lunch? Not yet. Oh, you should go to that place. Light, pleasant small talk, exchanging pleasantries. And so English-speaking tourists, native English-speaking tourists, it's not instinctive for them to learn such pleasantries before going to Italy or Spain or, you know, whatever Asian country you'd like to name, as it might be for speakers of other languages. So the new AirPods now, the new technology, which can also translate speech into writing, as well as speech into speech. And I mentioned yesterday how I had a little bit of experience with these AirPods, and they do that. They translate speech into a, you know, the earbud that you put in your ear, and they also give the speech in writing on the phone that you're using so you can read it as well. These AirPods only exacerbate this complacency. Hmm. Rhonda, exacerbate simply means to make a bad situation worse, to increase the negative effect of something, to exacerbate it. But what does the author mean by exacerbating this complacency?
It makes these assumptions we have even worse. Complacency is feeling satisfied with the situation or satisfied with what you've achieved, so you stop trying to improve. So if we say to someone, well, you're being overly complacent, you're being too complacent, or your complacency is keeping you from trying to get better. So the new AirPods are only going to make us even more confident and content with not having to learn other languages.
Right. Us native English speakers mm-hmm. are in danger of being too complacent about our ability to speak and be understood because the technology will do the translation for us now. And the author concedes that, sure, you know, she agrees with the idea that there is a benefit to this. You might get what you want faster by holding up your phone using the technology. But isn't there more to gain from the embarrassment of slightly mispronouncing your request for a table for two, as we might do in a restaurant? And it's an interesting question. It's sort of the philosophical question at the heart of the entire article. She says, isn't there more to gain, meaning she believes there is more to gain, isn't there more to gain from the embarrassment of slightly mispronouncing your request for a table of two? Yeah, that's an issue as to whether what we gain, what we lose by gaining clarity.
Yes. Embarrassment. We don't think of embarrassment as something that is good to experience. No one wants to feel embarrassed. But remember, yesterday she talked about ordering food and maybe possibly getting something funny to eat. So being in a situation where you are embarrassed can actually be part of what makes your life interesting.
It
makes your
be.
Travel experience interesting. And so she's coming back, like you said, in a more philosophical way in this last sentence we're discussing. Isn't there more to gain from what seems like a negative experience, being embarrassed?
Right, right. And so we'll go to our second reading now in the article where she's going to unpack this more philosophical question a bit more. And we'll consider it as well here in the studio here as we continue to let you know about important English words. But for the moment, let's go into our second reading now.
Seeing the world differently. Without understanding, we observe more closely. We read physical cues. We slow down. We watch what they do so that we can copy it. We make mistakes. embracing an increasingly rare experience in our day-to-day: failure. To try is cringe, especially in front of others. But traveling, being a foreigner, is one of the truly great opportunities to be outside what makes us comfortable and to grow from the challenge. A certain amount of friction is an essential part of being a person in the world, and the muscles we develop to deal with it are vital for self-esteem and resiliency. As we become more reliant on technology and artificial intelligence to provide us with answers, there are fewer chances to be an expert. It is nice, but not good, to be constantly reassured that we are right, smart, and have all the answers. Some things in life should be difficult. I'm not advocating for ignorance. People should commit to learning languages. Gaining another language is not just functionally rewarding. It teaches you to think differently. But there are times in life where things should be new, even completely unintelligible, so you can look at them in their entirety and appreciate the scale of everything you don't yet understand.
Okay, so we're going to take this second section here, paragraph by paragraph. In our first paragraph, Rhonda, we see that the author presents several things that we do when we don't understand something. What are some of them?
Sure. First, we observe more closely. We look at things more carefully and closely. We read physical cues. We might say nonverbal gestures, for example. We slow down. We don't just rush around. And we watch what they do, the people we're communicating with. We watch what they do so that we can copy it. We make mistakes. And this next part is important. We make mistakes when we don't understand, and that makes us embrace failure. Mm-hmm. Embrace or accept failure. So we make mistakes, embracing an increasingly rare experience in our day-to-day.
And what do they mean by day-to-day?
Yeah, every day.
Right. Our day-to-day routine is maybe the full expression. These days, it'll be shortened sometimes just to our day-to-day. And it just means your daily life, your daily routine, your normal life, day-to-day. So yeah, these are all things we observe more closely, we slow down, we pay more attention in general when we don't understand. Now, that means, of course, that there are other things that we don't achieve because we're busy slowing down and paying attention. So this is something that happens, but there's always another side to it as well. Now, in this next paragraph, author starts off with a powerful, short statement right at the beginning. To try is cringe, especially in front of others. Cringe, interesting word that is historically mainly a verb. I cringed when I heard the music of the amateur musician mm-hmm. because it was not polished, it was not refined. To cringe means to wrinkle your nose and have this almost physical reaction to something that is very unpleasant or very embarrassing, too. And these days, it's become an adjective. So to try something rather than to accomplish something or to succeed at something, to simply try something is cringe, especially in front of others. But traveling, being a foreigner, is one of the truly great opportunities to be outside what makes us comfortable and to grow from the challenge. Now, here's the next part of the paragraph is the idea I want to just camp under for a moment. A certain amount of friction is an essential part of being a person in the world, and the muscles we develop to deal with it are vital to self-esteem and resiliency. Mm. Rhonda, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. The core of that, what does it mean to be a person in the world? That's kind of our core of that sentence. Being a person in the world is the subject here.
Yeah.
So a certain amount of challenge, of resistance, of friction is an important part of being a person in the world. And the muscles we develop, the strength that we get, the strength to react, to deal with friction, that strength is vital for self-esteem and resiliency.
Yes. And I've just to be clear, friction meaning something that stops smooth functioning, something that makes something that should happen smoothly and cleanly not happen that way. So a certain amount of friction, a certain amount of dysfunction or challenge is an essential part of being a person in the world so that we develop the muscles to deal with it for the purposes of self-esteem and resiliency. I've often thought that, take the example of learning to ice skate. If you learn to ice skate without ever once falling
down,
I say, you haven't learned to ice skate. You've just been incredibly lucky. You still do not truly know how to balance your weight, how to use your muscles, how to guide on the ice and increase your speed and decrease your speed and come to a stop. You simply don't learn that without falling. You don't learn it without falling. It may happen without falling, but you haven't learned anything because you haven't had that friction of, falling on your bum that is an essential part of truly learning something. Then in the next paragraph, as we become more reliant on technology, reliant here meaning dependent on technology, as we become more reliant on technology and artificial intelligence to provide us with answers, there are fewer chances to be what, Rhonda?
Inexpert. To be not an expert.
Yeah, so, it's basically just a negative of expert.
It's an adjective here, right? Excuse me, an adjective, yes. He is an inexpert person. We don't say it very often. I think we have other words for
it. Well, we don't use it in the noun form very much. I think here she's using it more as an adjective, to be inexpert rather than an inexpert.
Boy, that's a little confusing, to be an inexpert.
Do we say? Because we say he's an expert. But we don't say he's an inexpert.
Yeah. Okay.
We just use inexpert in the adjective form,
yeah.
I think is the point. But then, again, the thought is sort of in the next sentence of the paragraph. It is nice, but not good, to be constantly reassured that we are right, smart, and have all the answers. Some things in life should be difficult. Rhonda, yay or nay?
Oh, I definitely agree that. Of course, everybody wants to be told that we spoke that sentence perfectly, or we knew the exact answer or the exact way to respond in a certain situation. We all want to be praised for our fluent use of a second language. But the struggle to learn the language rather than being able to do it with turning on a switch, that struggle is good for us.
I think for me it goes back to the ice skating example. If you haven't struggled, you haven't really learned. You've just been fortunate. You've just been lucky.
Or you've got an ice skating robot attached to you.
Or you've got AI ice skating or something.
Then it's not really you.
Yeah. Now, the author makes an important point here in the final paragraph, right up front. I'm not advocating for ignorance. To advocate for something means to support it, to promote it. So she is not advocating for ignorance. People should commit to learning languages. Gaining another language is not just functionally rewarding, meaning it doesn't just have a practical benefit. It teaches you to think differently. But, and here's the final idea, there are times in life where things should be new. First, she said some things in life should be difficult. Here, she says some things in life should be new, even completely unintelligible, completely not understandable, so that you can look at them in their entirety and appreciate the scale of everything you don't yet understand.
That's really beautiful. And I feel a little emotional as you've read that back to us, Peter, because I feel that way as a learner of Chinese. Chinese is so beautiful, and the looking at the characters is what comes to mind for me. The characters are completely unintelligible to me as a non-speaker. I probably know about 200 characters, I think. Maybe, if I know that many. But when I open a book of Chinese text, it really is unintelligible. What I'm thinking about with some emotion here is that I've come to realize that represents so much beauty and so much history and so much knowledge when I see these characters that are communicating something I don't yet understand. And I hope I am appreciating the culture and the language more because I look at the language and realize there's so much to it that I don't understand. So that was my takeaway as you were reading those lines.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that, Rhonda. I think that resonates with me definitely. And it relates back to that word we talked about in the first section, overconfidence. Mm. The cure for overconfidence is to look at things in their entirety and appreciate the scale, the size, the magnitude of everything you don't yet understand. Mm. And if technology crosses that gap for you, you lose that opportunity.
You lose that opportunity.
And you potentially remain overconfident.
Sure.
Some confidence is good, too much, not so good.
Yes.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. As you can see, we've, in a sense, just scratched the surface here in terms of the ideas of this article. We encourage you to continue to think about them and talk about them with each other as both a chance to understand the issue and how you feel about it, and also, of course, to practice your English. As long as you are still practicing your English with our trusty Advanced magazine and haven't switched over to AirPods yet, we will continue to be here. We invite you to come back next time for another article. That's it for today. Thank you again, though. I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.